And what we saw, what was emphasized, and what I have to say is one of the main burdens of this weekend is the matter of practice. Amen. We need to practice, saints. We're not here to acquire more knowledge or even just to see more. Our burden is that we would enter into the reality of the things that we are being shown. Amen. You know, actually, there's nothing new really here. This has been in the ministry for quite a long time. The point is, where's the reality of this? Amen. This is what the Lord is waiting on. Amen. This is why we're here this weekend. Amen. We're here so that we can enter into the practice of the New Testament priesthood. Amen. Where? In the church life. Amen. Okay. So this morning's message, message two, is the building of the New Testament priest. Amen. And we have to have a realization that whenever we touch this word building, we are touching God's heart's desire. Amen. This is a holy word, this word building. So this morning we want to enter into God's heart. We want to see what is it that He wants. You know, many times we're very concerned for ourselves. We're very concerned about our condition, how we're doing, where we're going to end up in the end times. But we need to forget about all that. Actually, the best way to take care of all of those things is to care for God's heart's desire. Amen. And really within me, for myself and for all of you, is that, Lord, reproduce your heart in us. Amen. May we care for what the Lord cares for. Amen. We're not here for our own things. This is a costly way to take the way that we take. It doesn't make any sense if we're here just to live for ourselves or unto ourselves. The only reason to take this way is that we can satisfy God. Amen. That we can fulfill His heart's desire. Amen. Saints, that's why they say we need to give all for God's building. Amen. This makes our lives worthwhile. It makes our lives meaningful. In fact, saints, this is the purpose of the existence of the universe, so that God can get the building work that He desires. Amen. Right? So as we touch this word building, keep this in the forefront of your spirit, is that we are touching the very thing that God wants. Right? Amen. So let's look at the outline, and we have Roman numeral 1. Life and building are the basic and central revelation of the Bible. So these two words are huge words. Life and building. These are very important words. They pervade the entire divine revelation. So if we're going to touch life and building, what we're really touching, again, is the entire divine revelation. From Genesis chapter 2 to Revelation 22 is a history of life and building. You know, if you look at the references there, Genesis, further down in the outline, you have Genesis 2, 8 and 9. And that's the Garden of Eden. And in the center of the Garden of Eden, what did the Lord put there? He put there a tree of life. Amen. And flowing out of this garden was a river of water of life. And what was in this river? Gold, dalium, and precious stones, right? Precious stones. Not only that, but in verse 22 of chapter 2, it says, Jehovah God built a woman out of Adam's rib, right? It uses this word specifically, built. Built. Right, so at the very beginning of the Bible, you have life and you have building. You have life and you have building. And then at the end of the Bible, in Revelation 22, what do you have? You have the New Jerusalem, Amen. The holy city. Amen. And what is it made of? It's made of gold, silver, and precious. Actually, no, silver. Gold, pearl, and precious stones, right? Amen. Gold, pearl, and precious stones. And what does it contain? What is inside this city? There's a throne, and from this throne flows a river of water of life. Amen. And in this river is the tree of life. Amen. So at the beginning of the divine revelation and at the end of the divine revelation, we have life and we have building. These two things go together. Life is for building. And building contains life. All right? The purpose of life is to issue forth in a building work. But this building work contains life itself. All right? Amen. So, letter A. Life is the triune God embodied in Christ and realized as the Spirit, dispensing Himself into us for our enjoyment, and building is the church, the body of Christ, God's spiritual house, Amen. As the enlargement and expansion of God for the corporate expression of God. This is a marvelous point, and if we can, we should try to memorize it because it defines both life and building in relation to one another. Right? We should never separate these two matters of life and building. In fact, the entire Gospel of John is kind of a record or an expression, a revelation of life for building. So this is a marvelous point A, and we should endeavor to get into it and to memorize it. And we can't touch this matter of building without getting into Matthew 16:18, which is the greatest prophecy in the Bible. The Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Saints, why are we here? We're here to build the church. The Lord is still waiting for His word to be fulfilled. Again, that's why we have to emphasize the matter of practice. It is the practice of the New Testament priesthood that will issue in the builded church. Amen. So we have to enter in to a daily life of practicing, and we'll get into that. Amen. In addition to Matthew 16:18, we have two other verses in this section. Colossians 2:19, where we see that the body grows with the growth of God. And when we consider the New Testament, there's many words that have a corporate aspect. And whenever we touch a word in the New Testament that has this implication or aspect of being corporate, we need to immediately think building. This is the building. And as we'll see as we progress through this outline, we may never have thought about that in relation to the priesthood. But the priesthood is another aspect of the building. We'll see. Building and the priesthood are inseparable. They're one entity, right? So we have Colossians 2:19, we have Ephesians 4:16. And again, you may never have thought of this verse as referring to the priesthood. But now, as we go through this outline, I want you to consider, in the back of your mind, Ephesians 4:16 is not just talking about the body of Christ, obviously, but it's also, think of it as an explanation of how the priesthood should operate. It should operate as the body of Christ, right? And again, we have the word growth and building in this verse, and that's very important because Paul was always careful to put these two things together. Again, only something organic, only something living can grow. So when you have the word growth and building is another way of saying life and building, right? Life and building. So causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love is how that verse finishes. And that's very important because what we wanted to see is that we're not talking about an inorganic building, a dead physical kind of building. This building is also a body. It's organic. It's full of life. Amen. So we should never have the thought that a church, right, is a physical building on the corner, right? That's old way of thinking. We all understand that the church is the body of Christ, the spiritual house of God, right? So keep that in mind that if you're thinking of a building and there's nothing involved with life, then you have the wrong concept. The litmus test for the genuine building is that it's full of and contains life. Amen. Okay, let's come to capital B. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of life and building for us to be built up to be the church as the house of God and the body of Christ. So this is what the Lord's recovery is for. Why does the Lord need a recovery? Why has He taken the way of recovery? Furthermore, why have we taken this way? There's many ways to be a Christian. Why have we chosen this one very specific, very narrow, very focused way? Amen. It's because the Lord needs to recover life and building. Amen. Because that without life and building, He does not achieve His heart's desire. Amen. And then everything is vanity. Everything is meaningless if God does not get what He wants. So the Lord's recovery is to recover life and building. And we are in the recovery to practice the recovery of life and building. Amen. Amen. And we have some marvelous verses here. Ephesians 2:21 is a key verse because here you see many pictures, symbols, ideas, realities combined into one. It says, "In whom all the building being fitted together, growing." So you have a building that is growing. "Growing into a holy temple in the Lord." So just as we saw in Ephesians, Paul puts growth and building together. He does it again in chapter 2. That was chapter 4. So earlier in the epistle of Ephesians, he had already put forth this idea of a building, a temple that grows. So we can't be talking about a physical structure. We're talking about a spiritual, organic reality, right? So being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit. Amen. This is what the church is. It is the dwelling place of God in spirit. And it is this spiritual dwelling place, this spiritual house that we need to endeavor to build up. This is the building work that the Lord is waiting on. And this is the building work, we'll see, that requires the practice of the priesthood. Okay. Romans 12:4, we see that we're one body in Christ. So these verses here, either they're on the aspect of building or on the aspect of life, showing the recovery of life and building. But it doesn't say building. You'll see it says body. So when you think body, you have to think building. As we just saw in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 4, Paul had this concept. The body is something that's being built up and growing simultaneously because it's organic, right? So body refers to building, right? And then we'll see in verses like Colossians 3, 4, Christ is our life. So Christ is the life. Christ is life. And then the corporate Christ is the building. So Christ and the church is life and building. Christ equals life. The church equals building. So when we say life and building, we should think Christ and the church. This is why it's so critical that we have 1 Corinthians 15:45 on here. Because how is life applicable to us? How do we subjectively experience Christ as our life? Well, we have to recover the truth concerning the Spirit, the life-giving Spirit. Amen. The last Adam became a life-giving Spirit. Amen. And this life-giving Spirit is now living in our spirit. Amen. And when we turn to our spirit, we can touch Him. Amen. We can flow Him out. So we have to recover the truths concerning life and building. And we see that these truths are primarily related to Christ being life as the Spirit and the church as the house of God being the body of Christ, a spiritual dwelling place. Okay? Amen. All right, let's move on to capital C. The central vision of the Bible, the building of the house of God, can be considered the highlight of the Bible. And also the essence extracted from the Bible. Again, you cannot overstate the centrality of this burden in the Word of God of life and building, specifically God acquiring His building work. It is the highlight of the Bible. Amen. Saints, we're getting into the highlight of the Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
There's so many other things we could be doing, but we're redeeming the time. We're getting into the highlight of the Bible.
Amen.
The essence extracted from the Bible. So if there's one essence, one thing that you wanted to take out of the Bible and give to someone, it should be this point concerning God's building work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So in Exodus 25:8, the Lord says to Moses, "Let them make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell in their midst." Right? So the Lord's heart from the beginning is to be with His people. We should never have this concept that's very common in secular or even religious thinking that we're here and God is far away and that's the way that He wants it. No. From the very beginning, God has been trying to get closer and closer to His people, right? His intention from the beginning was to dwell in the midst of His people. Amen. And then in Exodus, you see the reference there to Exodus, the verses in Exodus 40. And what this refers to is when the building work was completed, at the end of that, the tabernacle was raised up, okay? It was finished. And then the initiation of the priestly service began with the offerings. And what was the result of that? God's glory came down to the earth.
Amen.
It covered the tent and filled the inside of the tent with glory shining forth to the extent that Moses could not enter in. The significance of this is that when the building work is completed with the proper priesthood, God is satisfied.
Amen.
He has what He wants.
Yes.
His glory comes to the earth.
Amen.
Do you see this? So this is the type. It's small. It's a tent. And there's some glory on top and filling it. But the significance is crucial to our appreciation of the importance of this truth, is that when this building work is completed, God has what He wants. And then glory will fill the earth.
Amen.
Glory will fill the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Is this not worth giving everything for?
Amen.
To fill the earth with the glory of God?
Amen.
Amen. And then we have 1 Timothy 3:15 on here as well. We see that the church, right, is the house of God. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. Amen. So this church is living because God is living. We have a living God. So He cannot dwell in a house made with hands. Something dead, material, inorganic? No, the living God must dwell in a living, organic house. All right. Well, who is that house, right? Amen. Now, this last reference on here to me is really crucial, and I enjoyed seeing this so much. Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, now this is the very end of the Bible, right? This is right before Revelation chapter 22. And this is a loud voice out of heaven saying, this is God speaking. The words he chooses are significant. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God could have used any word there. He didn't say the New Jerusalem is with them. He said the tabernacle. So we see the New Jerusalem is the consummation of the tabernacle. And that God will tabernacle with them. I kind of had to repent when I was preparing for this message. I underestimated the significance of this word tabernacle. It isn't just the tent that is a type of the church that, you know, because I always want to, okay, tabernacle is good, but really the temple is the thing, right? They just had to do the tabernacle because they hadn't built up the temple yet. But at the end of the Bible, God uses the word tabernacle. Amen. And in John chapter 1, the word was God. And in verse 14, the word became flesh and tabernacled among us, full of grace and reality. So this concept of the tabernacle, I feel like is much sweeter and more precious to the Lord than it was to me. I want to be brought into the Lord's view of the significance of this tabernacle. The Lord Jesus on the earth, when he in his incarnation, was a tabernacle of God. God was dwelling in this man. He was the tabernacle. But now we have the enlarged corporate Christ. We are this tabernacle. And in eternity future, in the consummation of the ages, the New Jerusalem will be the last tabernacle. God in man and man in God.
Amen.
This really impressed me. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in the tabernacle. We're always going to be in the tabernacle. The New Jerusalem is a tabernacle. Amen. Okay, Roman numeral 2. In the sequence of the divine record in Exodus, the priesthood follows the tabernacle. So, Exodus 27:20, at this point in the divine record, it takes a turn. So, it's going over the pattern of the tabernacle. And then in verse 20, there's a change, and it begins to talk about the priesthood and the lighting of the lamps. This is significant. Let's read on to, we'll see why in point A. Exodus 27:21 reveals that immediately after the tabernacle came into existence, there was the need of the priesthood for the lighting of the lamps. This indicates that, spiritually speaking, the priesthood and the tabernacle are one entity. So the priesthood and the tabernacle are one. This is a crucial point to get in this outline. If you don't get this point, nothing else makes sense. So perhaps before we considered, well, the tabernacle is the tabernacle and the priesthood is the priesthood. But in God's eyes, these are the same. In the Old Testament type, they're two distinct things. But in the New Testament reality, they're two aspects of one thing. And that's what we have to see. We are both the building of God and we are the priesthood of God. Actually, we'll see. If we're not the building, we cannot be the priesthood. B, in typology, the priesthood and the tabernacle as one entity signify the church composed of God's redeemed people as a spiritual house and a priesthood. So, yes, God, he dwells in the sanctuary, right? We read that verse from Exodus that he wanted to dwell in the sanctuary in the midst of his people. And I had to stop myself from going all the way. Really, he wants to dwell in us. Amen. Saints, we are the sanctuary of God.
Amen.
So this word building work should be so sweet to us. It's not an arduous, laborious thing. What this word building means is that God wants to dwell in man.
Amen.
And man dwell in God.
Amen.
This is the high peak of the divine revelation.
Amen.
And this is what we should see when we consider the tabernacle and the priesthood. Don't get lost and all the things, right? We should appreciate those things, but in the context of the big picture, that God wants to dwell in man, and he wants man to dwell in God.
Amen.
So, no, he's not far away from us. He's living in us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is the Spirit.
Amen.
Living in our spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is God's heart's desire to be one with man.
Amen.
Life in building is about God being one with us for eternity. But it needs to come into reality. It needs to be a practical, subjective thing on the earth right now. And that's what requires our practice. So again and again, we come back to this matter of practice. All right? So really what we're touching here is, why is it so important to practice the New Testament priesthood? I hope this is impressing you to see that we can satisfy God's desire to dwell within man.
Amen.
And to bring men into God.
Amen.
Okay? See, through the pictures in the book of Exodus, God reveals that his redeemed people are both the tabernacle and the priesthood, with the fulfillment of the types in the New Testament. The tabernacle and the priesthood are put together. And here we come to maybe one of the most significant verses in this message, which is 1 Peter 2:5. And everyone who has it, who can find it very quickly, maybe we could all read this verse together, because this is a crucial verse for appreciating where even the light concerning the relationship between the tabernacle and the priesthood came from, right? All right, ready? 1 Peter 2:5. You yourselves also,
into the holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter's understanding of salvation is that it is the transformation of the believers into a corporate building up. All right? And where did he get this idea from? Well, it comes back to his personal experience with the Lord. You know, we know that in John 1:42, the Lord Jesus changed Simon's name, right? Peter, Cephas, stone. So he changed his name to stone. You are a stone. And then we have this wonderful word in his epistle. So he probably spent his entire life considering this. The Lord changed my name to stone. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm dumb as a rock? What does that mean? No, he realized that the stone is significant because it refers to the building of God. And so that he could write this verse. And here we see the sequence, a spiritual house, and then it's followed by a holy priesthood. And this matches what we see in Exodus 27. So this is clear. This is how the brothers who brought up this ministry, this is how they saw this. They put these two portions of the scripture together. They saw the tabernacle followed by the priesthood in Exodus 27. Then, if you consider 1 Peter 2:5, the same thing happens again. You have a spiritual house followed by the priesthood. All right? So, we are living stones. This is one of the great crystals or great gems in Peter's epistles, that we see that we are living stones for the building. We have to consider, are we just a pile of stones? Are we just a gathering of stones? Are we stones that have been built up? Well, the difference between a pile of stones and a builded structure are what causes that pile of stones to become a building is practice, right? So maybe, for the most part, we're just kind of all stones kind of gathered close to one another. That's good. But if we continue to practice, then we will have the experience and the reality of being built up into God's spiritual house.
Amen.
Right? We should not be content just to be in the churches as a gathering of living stones. Saints, we can't stop here. It's easy to stop here because it's very pleasant and it meets our need. We can just be together as living stones and we'll be happy. Our needs will be met. But again, referring back to the beginning of the message, what about God's need?
Amen.
What about God's heart's desire? Who here cares for God's heart's desire? I feel like that is the question that's being sounded forth from the brothers in the ministry, right? Where is the response to the call for God's building? So in our locality, we are living stones, but we should go a step further and we should endeavor to practice the New Testament priesthood to be built up with one another. And that is the goal and the burden of this weekend's conference, is that we would be enlivened encouraged, and enlightened to practice this word. Amen. Amen. Okay, so quickly, I should cover this point that in English, the word priesthood has different connotations and different meanings, and it can be confusing when we talk about what the priesthood is. But we know that in Greek, there's at least three words for priesthood. One that refers to the office of the priest, and we see that in Hebrews 7:12. One that refers to the service of the priest, and that's Hebrews 7:5. But the third Greek word refers to the body of priests, or the priest as a serving unit. And that's the word that Peter uses in 1 Peter 2:5, okay? So that's important to know. So there could be some who take issue with our interpretation of the priesthood, but when you go to the original language, the Greek is clear, right? There can be no argument. That's the priesthood that Peter's referring to. Amen. Amen. Okay, time. So let's Roman numeral 3. The fact that the tabernacle is mentioned before the priesthood in Exodus emphasizes the need of the believers to be built up to be God's dwelling place so that they may serve him as a corporate, coordinated priesthood. So in Exodus 26, God revealed to Moses the plan for the tabernacle, right, and the priesthood. And the importance here is that when the Lord brought Moses up to the mountain and opened his heart to him, what did he reveal to him? A building. So again, I hit this point again. What is in God's heart? The building. This is what he revealed to Moses, right? And that was a type. But we have the opportunity to enter into the reality of that type, into the reality of the fulfillment of the type that of the tabernacle that God showed to Moses on the mountain. Right, so we need to have a burden for building. We need to receive into our being. We need to make room in our being for a burden for building. All right, A, the priesthood is a body of priests who are built together to live and serve as one entity. Okay, so in Revelation 1:6 and 5:10, we see we are a kingdom of priests. We are a kingdom and we are priests and we are a kingdom of priests. Amen. And this actually refers back to the Old Testament, Exodus 19:6. God's desire was to have a kingdom of priests, right? He told Moses this. All right, B, apart from the building, it is impossible to have the priesthood. So this touches on, again, the sequence. The sequence is important. First is the building, then there's the priesthood. We should never initiate or participate in any service that has not issued forth from the building. God's standard for service is that it is the result of a building work. Okay? So we need first to have the building and then have the priesthood. It cannot be the other way around. Because God's building is based on the principle of oneness. So we need to enter into this oneness. And out of this oneness will become a service, will come out a service that is acceptable to the Lord. And then if we endeavor to enter into this building burden, we'll find that our service is well-pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Okay, so number one, the priests are not individualistic believers, but a corporate body. The priesthood is composed of priests who have been built together, right? And we see this in Romans 12, 5 and 7. Actually, it's very interesting. Peter's concept of coordinated service matches Paul's view of coordinated service in Romans 12. So it's marvelous to see that these two brothers were speaking the same thing, each in their own way, but it was the same speaking. Amen. They're both touching God's heart's desire to have a body of Christ where all the members are serving in coordination. Amen. Right? Amen. Okay. Two, the service of the priesthood is a body service in coordination. This corporate service is what the Lord is seeking today. So the Lord is not seeking individual priests, but he is seeking a built-up priesthood. Amen. He is seeking one corporate serving one, amen, not many individualistic serving ones, right? Three, without the building, the priesthood will collapse. We cannot have the priesthood without the building. And this word collapse is very serious. In other words, if our service in the church life does not issue forth from a building work, a point of building, then that service will collapse, and that collapse will be a damage to the church, right? See, the priestly service is a work of being built up and of building, right? Highlight these two points, being built up and building. All of our service in the church life, regardless of if it's cleaning the restrooms or if it's caring for the children's work, it should have these two elements. It should have these two aspects. It should be a service of being built up and a service of building.
Amen.
Actually, when we serve, we get built up.
Amen.
And we are also building up.
Amen.
You can never use the excuse, well, I can't serve because I'm not built up. No, the way to get built up is to serve.
Right.
Then you're qualified to build up, right? So we can't say, I'm not built up, so I can't. No. Pursue service to be built up. Then your service will be a building work.
Amen.
Amen. One aspect of our work is to be built up, and another aspect is to build. So this is saying the same thing in a slightly different way. But the burden is the same. We are materials that are getting worked on, that are getting built in. But then we also become ones who do building work and build others in. Right? This is marvelous. We get benefits on both sides. We get built in, and we help to build.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And here we have to consider 1 Corinthians 3:10, right? We have to take heed how we build. Actually, all service issues in some kind of a building. We see this in Paul, in these verses here in Corinthians 3. Either it's a building of gold, silver, and precious stones, or it's a building of wood, grass, and stubble, right? And all these buildings that issue forth from our service will pass through God's judging fire. And the ones that are natural, the ones that are not related to the building work, will be burnt up. But that work that issues forth from the building, the gold, silver, and precious stones, will consummate in the New Jerusalem. So don't be deceived. No matter what you're doing, you're building something. But will that something pass through the fire? Well, see, we need to apply these principles. We need to care for the building, then the service. And just real quickly, you know, 1 Corinthians 14:26 talks about the prophesying. Saints, a practical way to build up the church is to prophesy.
Amen.
We should treasure, care for, and build up our prophesying meetings on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
Right? We need to speak the word of God to one another.
Amen.
Again, not just for our own benefit, but for the building up of the church.
Amen.
Okay. Two, we are building by being built up. This is to genuinely serve God as priest. Three, to serve God as priest is to build the dwelling place of God, which is also to be built up. So the priests serve by building up. And our service is to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church.
Amen.
All the gifts, all the functions in the body are for the building up. They are not goals or ends in themselves. They are not for that particular member. Every gift, every function possessed by the members of the body is for the building up of the body.
Amen.
This is what it means to be in the principle of the building, okay? When we serve. All right. Amen. Four, we cannot separate the priestly service from the building. We are proper priests carrying out the genuine building work only when we are built up. Five, being built up into a spiritual house is the basic condition for service. We cannot serve if we are not built up. Right? Underline this word, this phrase, basic condition. This refers back to what I said earlier, that this is the baseline. If you don't have this basic condition, you cannot serve. But again, you cannot use that as an excuse not to serve. Enter into the service knowing that you need to be built up.
Amen.
Knowing that you are not yet built up, but that's what you are pursuing. Then your service will be in the correct principle, and it'll be well-pleasing and acceptable to God. And that brings us to six. When we are built up into a priesthood, we can have work that is acceptable to God.
Amen.
In God's eyes, whether something is acceptable or not acceptable depends upon whether or not it is something that's built up.
Amen.
Not whether or not it is something of the building.
Amen.
He's not interested in our individual successes or accomplishments. He cares for the building.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. D. Since the priesthood equals the house and the house depends on the building, the priesthood also requires the building up of the saints. One, the sequence of house and priesthood in 1 Peter 2:5 is based upon the sequence in Exodus. Two, because of the need for building up, the church must be the house of God before it can be the priesthood. All right, let's move on. Three, building involves coordination. Only when we are built into and coordinated into the building do we have the ground to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so this is sobering. If we do not have the proper ground, our service will collapse, right? And this will be a harm, a damage to the church. So we need to care for this proper ground of our service. Amen. Actually, so much of the point of all the service is just the coordination. The coordination before, during, and after. This is where the real building takes place. Never consider that the end result of the service is the most important thing. No, really, it's the coordination of the service where God's heart's desire is fulfilled.
Amen.
You know, God will survive whether or not the bathroom's cleaned. But he'll be set back if there's no building work in that coordinating service.
Amen.
If those brothers and sisters are not built together, this is what he cares for. So in our service, let's build up this practice of a proper coordination. Amen. Building involves coordination. Only when we're built into and coordinated into the building do we have the ground to serve. If you don't have this view, you're in danger of becoming, I think what our brother said before, a renegade priest or a maverick priest, right? You're just a lone ranger out doing your own thing. And this is offensive to the Lord. This is the way of religion. 4, our unique need is to be built up.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, there's so much to say here. I'll just say this. You know, kind of what I referred to in the beginning of the message is that oftentimes we have a genuine heart to seek the Lord. We are really pursuing the Lord, especially the younger ones and those growing up in the church life. But you can get sidetracked by pursuing your own spirituality, your own victory, your own spiritual power. But actually, the genuine reality of these things is in the body. It's in the building. If you try to pursue these things apart from the building work for yourself, you'll be frustrated and disappointed, right? So actually, true, genuine spirituality is only in the context of the building, in the context of the body of Christ. And really, we should not, I just have to say, we shouldn't care so much for our own things. Who cares about us? I mean, at a certain point, we just need to abandon ourselves to meeting God's need. And that's why I really enjoyed this prayer. Lord, make me willing to be built into your building.
Amen.
If you take away one thing, take away this prayer. Lord, make me willing to be built into your building.
Amen.
Okay, A, if we want to be protected, we need to be built up into God's building. Our protection is not our spirituality. It is God's building.
Amen.
Saints, do you want to be protected?
Amen.
Enter into the building.
Amen.
Actually, the building is our salvation. The building is our rescue and our deliverance.
Amen.
Saints, flee into God's building work.
Amen.
Hide yourself in God's building.
Amen.
Outside of God's building, we're exposed. We're unprotected, right? But when we enter into God's building, we get all the benefits of the body of Christ.
Amen.
We're hidden there. We're safe there. We're supplied there. We're nourished there.
Amen.
Saints, flee into God's building work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, my last point. The shortcomings in the lives of even the most spiritual Christians are due to the lack of building up. So, saints, to conclude, all of our problems, all of our shortcomings, all of our frustrations, if we trace them back to the origin, it's because we're not attached to the building work. We're pursuing something of Christ or something of the Lord apart from the building, right? The way to deal with all the things that frustrate us, all the things that hold us back, is to give all for God's building. Is to make God's heart's desire of the building of God, the body of Christ, as our focus, right? And when we do this, we'll find ourselves spontaneously entering into the practice of the New Testament priesthood.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I just appreciate so much, saints. There is a way for us to enter into God's building.
Amen.
There's a practical way for men of clay to become living stones.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And our brother David will continue that. Amen.
Amen. Life is the triune God, embodied in Christ, realized as the Spirit, dispensed into us for our enjoyment. Building is the church, the body of Christ, God's spiritual house. For God's enlargement and expansion as the corporate expression of God.
Amen.
When Brother Minoru first gave this message several months ago, he encouraged all the young people to memorize this point. This is the very first point, 1A, of this outline. Brother Russell did the same thing. I would encourage all the young people, not just you 12 that are sitting in this little square right here, but those are also young in heart, to memorize this. This is why we're here. Life and building. Life and building. Or Christ and the church. Actually, they're related. They're related. I so much enjoyed our brother's sharing last night as a corporate man. You know, the more you eat, the more you eat, the more you are prepared to serve. Amen. The more you become a functioning priest. Yes. Amen. How you serve depends on what you eat. This morning, I was very, very impressed. My son, Justin, some of you know him, made me breakfast. It just came out of nowhere. He cooked something called the eggs in a basket. I didn't even know what that was. But it's a piece of toast. You take out the middle, and then you fry an egg inside of it. I'd never seen such a thing. But it was really good. It was really good. It impressed me. He's grown. Ben, how old is Luke?
Seven.
He's seven. Has he made you breakfast yet? See. At age seven, you don't know how to operate a stove yet. So it takes some growth. It takes some growth. Don't worry. If you keep feeding him, one day he's going to serve you and feed you breakfast. A three-course breakfast. Life and building are related. If you wish to be a priest, you have to grow. So, following the good pattern set by our brothers last night, the first half of our speaking, a little bit concerning vision, concerning the priesthood, and how the building is related to the priesthood. The second half of the speaking, a little bit more focused toward the practice, the practical experience. How do we become the building? How do we become the building? Okay, so let's look at the outline point, message two. Point E, after receiving Christ as the seed of life, we need to grow that we may experience him as the stone living in us. Thus he will make us also living stones, transformed with his stone nature, so that we may be built together with others a spiritual house. Upon him as both the foundation and the cornerstone. Then in points one, subpoints one through four, it's summarized in point four. Here we see that in the morning, Christ is milk. Amen. And in the evening, he becomes the stone. During the day, the milk does a transforming work within us to produce a stone. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'm hoping by now you would have gotten a little impression. There's no priesthood unless there's a building. Our brother Russell shared, even in the divine record in Exodus, the tabernacle had to come first before the priesthood. Okay? So, we have to have building before the priesthood. Without the building, there's no priesthood. But, now we need to see the practice. How do we become the priesthood? Okay, these are synonymous. Priesthood and building. Building and priesthood. And here, we see Brother Peter's sharing. Okay, how? Drink the milk of the word. Amen. You drink the milk of the word. All of a sudden, Over time, not all of a sudden, over time, you become a stone, a living stone. Brothers and sisters, don't ask me how you drink milk and become a stone. I can't tell you medically how that happens. In the recovery, in the ministry, we hear examples of transformation all the time. We understand a little bit how a worm becomes a butterfly, although that's also kind of mysterious. We understand a little bit of how coal becomes a diamond. You know, you press it and pressure and time and it becomes a diamond. We understand a little bit of how a piece of wood, an organic piece of wood, becomes petrified, becomes a stone. These are all pictures of transformation. But in 1 Peter, very, very interesting. If you drink milk, you become a living stone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not just a living stone by yourself, but a builded work. God's building. How does this occur? Where is the practice? The practice, brothers and sisters, is in the eating of Christ. Is in the drinking of Christ. Did you take Christ in as milk this morning? Did you know milk is no longer for babies? I sound like an advertisement for the Dairy Association of America. No. In the scripture, you read Peter's word. You drink the milk, you become a living stone. This is a process of transformation. Process of transformation. So I was considering before the Lord for our practice, to help our practice, to help our view of how this occurs. I was very much touched this week reading through the Gospels and seeing the example or the illustration. It always helps when you see an illustration, right, of transformation, of how a person becomes transformed. If you read in the Gospels and you just check the testimony of our brother Peter, you know, the brother who wrote 1 Peter 2:5, you yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. Amen. Yes, that same brother who wrote that verse. If you check through the Gospels, you see a picture of how if you drink milk, you become a living stone. You see a picture of transformation. Let me just go over really quickly because I was very, very much encouraged by this week. Okay, even in Matthew 4, if you just look at the book of Matthew, in Matthew 4, the first mention of our brother Simon, his name was Simon Barjona at the time, fishing in the Sea of Galilee with his brother Andrew. Then the Lord comes and calls him. I will make you a fisher of men. Drop your nets. Follow me. And what do Andrew and Simon Barjona do? Okay. Very interesting, right? Very interesting. Actually, when I first read that, I'm like, how does somebody just all of a sudden, when you meet a person for the first time, you drop everything you're doing, you're going to follow him? Okay, well, and actually, if you read the Gospels, you realize this wasn't the first time that Peter met the Lord Jesus. Actually, you notice in John 1 was the first occurrence, okay, when Andrew brought his brother Simon to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus looked at him. You're Cephas. Changed his name. You're Cephas. It's very interesting. When has it ever happened to you? When you meet a dignitary, when you meet somebody, I don't know, important, he comes, he looks at you, and he calls you by the wrong name. You're Cephas. What is our response? What is a... Andrew, can you tell him my name is Simon? It's not Cephas. Cephas, by the way, brothers and sisters, is Aramaic. It's Peter in Greek, so it's the same name. my name is not Cephas, it's Simon.
Or if you're a little bolder, you know, sometimes, you know, when somebody of stature comes and meets us and calls us by the wrong name, you just kind of whisper, no, it's Simon. But the Lord is very serious. No, you're Cephas. Amen. Do you think that stuck with him? Yes, that stuck with him. Amen. That stuck with our brother Peter. How? You look at 1 Peter 2:5. Where did living stones come from? It came from him, his name. Anyway, that's the very first time in Matthew 4. This was a natural Peter fishing. Okay, then you move ahead a couple chapters. Matthew 14. What kind of Peter do you see there? Okay, still an untransformed Peter there. The Lord had just finished feeding the 5,000. Miracle. He left them. He crossed the waters. And Peter and the other disciples wanted to follow in a boat. They saw the Lord is over there across the water, walking actually on water. So Peter's like, whoa, Lord. The Lord said, come. Peter, being Peter, got out of the boat, stepped on the water. He really did. He stepped on the water. To this day, I don't know any other human being that can walk on water. He did it. But then all of a sudden, what happened? He started doubting. This is the doubting Peter, non-transformed doubting Peter. As soon as he doubted, as soon as he started to look around, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. I'm standing on water here. All of a sudden, don't doubt. Don't doubt the Lord, Lord. The Lord says, come. Anyway, this is the doubting Peter. Still not transformed, the doubting Peter. Okay. Then you move to Matthew 16, chapter 16. Oh, okay. Just because Peter was not transformed doesn't mean he couldn't be blessed. Matthew 16, the Lord is asking the disciples, who do people say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. This is the untransformed Peter. This is the blessed Peter. Why was he blessed? Because the Father revealed it to him. Wow, you're the anointed one. You're the Messiah. You're the one that we spoke about in the Old Testament times. Not only that, you are the second of the triune God. Was Peter not blessed? This is the blessed Peter. Even in your natural state, in your natural untransformed state, thank you. Even in your natural untransformed state, you need water.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You see? Living water. This is what drinking does for you. Even in the untransformed state, the Lord can bless you. The Lord can bless you. Don't worry. We have hope. But in the same chapter, okay, what happened to our blessed Peter? He became the satanic Peter. Wow. Get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord is reviewing. The Lord is unveiling his crucifixion. No, Lord. This one, that. Get thee behind me, Satan. Lest you forget, you're still in an untransformed state. We have the satanic nature within us. Okay? Matthew 16. Then, Matthew 17, you look at Peter again. This is very interesting. The Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration. Peter had a wonderful idea. I say that facetiously. Okay? Actually, you know what? Brother Lee, in the footnote, uses this word, absurd. I've never seen that word in the recovery version other than in that footnote. Absurd proposal. Oh, I will build 3 tents. One for the Lord, one for Moses, one for Elijah. In our untransformed state. That's absurd, Peter. No. There's only one. Okay, then let me just fast forward. Can't be here all day. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Okay. This is Peter denying the Lord Jesus. The Lord, you could stumble everyone else. I will not be stumbled. Peter, before a rooster crows, you'll deny me already three times. Okay? This is the denying Peter. You know, some of you saints know. We brothers have been studying together recently. One of the lessons that we studied, you cannot be useful to the Lord unless you've been broken. Unless you've been broken. A servant of the Lord, a priest of the Lord, must be broken first. I believe if you read in Matthew 26, you see Peter being broken. Being broken. After he denied the Lord three times, what happened? He wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. That's a sign of brokenness. From that point on, brothers, Peter started. You see something different. You see something different. This is transformation. Brothers and sisters, we have hope. This is transformation. Then you fast forward to Acts. Acts 2. Acts 2. You see our brother at Pentecost speaking the word strongly. So strongly that he convicted those who listened to him. What should we do? They were pricked in heart. You look at the gospel. You look at the record. They were pricked in heart. What should you do? Go. Get saved. Receive and be baptized. This is our Peter. All of a sudden, now, you see some transformation. You see some stone there. There's no more absurdity. There's no more, naturalness. There's no more satanic nature. Well, not expressed. There's transformation there. Brothers and sisters, this is the point. This is the practical point, the practice of this message, message two. If you have the heart, okay, to serve the Lord, if you have a heart to say, I am for Christ and the church, I am for life and building, we have to give ourselves to what? To grow. We have to give ourselves to drink of the milk of the word daily. We have to give ourselves to pray individually and corporately. I do appreciate the brothers sharing last night. We have to give ourselves to come to the meetings and function, which you'll have a chance to do in not too long. So get ready now. Okay? But we have to give ourselves to grow, to eat Christ, to drink him as the milk in the word. You will be transformed little by little. Little by little. This is the practice. This is the practice of message two. There is no priesthood unless you have building first. You need to be transformed into a precious stone for his building. Amen. I appreciate our brother Russell sharing. It's not even good enough to be an individual precious stone just sitting here. No. Not good enough. Oh, you're very, very spiritual. What do you mean? I already do read the word every day. Yeah, I drink the milk morning, noon, and evening. At best, you're by yourself. You're by yourself. Where's the building? Who are you built next to? When you see tabernacle, what do you see? I'll be very honest with you. I very, very much was touched by this past training regarding all the specifics of the tabernacle. When you see tabernacle, what do I see? I see the saints. I see the saints. I see the brothers as standing boards, together, built together, acacia wood overlaid with gold, standing together, not individually, but corporately. You know, the standing boards are 10 cubits tall, right? What brothers do you know that are 15 feet tall? Not individual. We're all built together. We're built together as his dwelling place, as his dwelling place. Okay? One more point. One more point, and then we turn the meeting over to you. Okay? That is point four. There's another picture. There's another picture in the Old Testament that reveals God's building. Okay? Roman numeral four. The breastplate is the central and ultimate point of the priesthood. Okay. The points in this Roman numeral can also be summarized in B2. Let me read this to you. As components of the church, the believers who were created from dust must be transformed. This is the theme this morning. This is the practical theme. We all must be transformed. In their human nature, by and with the divine nature, through the working of the Spirit, to become precious stones for God's eternal building. The Christian life is a life of transformation. Brothers and sisters, are we being transformed today? Are we being transformed a little bit today? Daily, God is seeking to transform us. Okay, let me just show you a little bit of this picture of the breastplate. And then we turn the meeting over. In the life studies of Exodus, okay, message 123. This is on Exodus 28. The fourth sentence in. Brother Lee shares a statement which is quite mind-blowing. He asks a question. He said, did you know that the breastplate is the highest revelation of the church? The breastplate is the highest revelation of the church. Message 123, Exodus. So just in continuation along the lines of what our brother was sharing last night regarding the garments of the priests. They reveal so much. They express so much. Let me just go over with you very quickly. Mike, that's your name, right? Can you come up here for a minute? I met Mike yesterday. Hallelujah. This is Brother Michael Brown from?
Wilmington, Delaware.
Hallelujah. Actually, your name is Cephas. You realize that, right?
Okay.
Okay, good. All right. Hallelujah. Peter is here. Imagine Peter, a priest, which he is. All priests, first of all, wore linen trousers. Okay? So you have to understand, priests wore pants. They didn't run around without pants. Okay? All priests wore linen trousers. Over the linen trousers, okay, was a tunic, all right, that went just below the knees with a sash and with a turban. All priests were garbed like this. If you were a high priest, which we also are, okay, after the order of Melchizedek, not only did you have this, you had a robe on. There was a robe. And on top of the robe, there was something called an ephod, which is kind of like a vest, with a front portion, a shoulder portion, and a back portion. Okay? And this ephod, as our brother shared last night, is such a fine picture of Christ. Such a fine picture of Christ, made of gold, woven. With fine linen. You know, the gold had to be melted and beat down and then into little strips small enough that you could weave the gold. Imagine, this is God's divine nature woven into the fine linen, his divine humanity. What a picture of Christ. The ephod was the picture of Christ. And then the two shoulder pieces, the onyx stones with the six names of the tribe of Israel, inscribed on them, signifying that Christ is bearing us, hallelujah, as a church on his capable and broad shoulders. But the center portion, the central and ultimate point of the priesthood, was this thing right here called the breastplate that was sitting on top of the ephod. The breastplate, brothers and sisters, just to let you know, all right, was a picture of the church. A picture of the church. First off,
The breastplate was one span. You check Exodus 28. Was one span in width and in height. What does that mean? A span is the width of an open hand. Was one width, hand width, in width and length. What does that practically mean? We, brothers and sisters, as the church, are in God's capable hands. Hymn 300, how many times have we sang this in the Lord's table meeting? Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears. The surety, my surety stands before the throne. Why? My name is written on his hands. That's Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Our name is written on his hands. Okay, the picture is there with the church. The entire church is in the hands, the capable hands of God. Don't be concerned with what's around you. Oh, this, that, look at this. No, we're all in God's hands. Don't be concerned. Okay, but even more. There are four rows of precious stones. Three each in each row. 12 altogether. Three times four equals? Three times four equals? Ah, very good. Okay. Divine mathematics. Four creatures. Three, the triune God. The mingling of God and man again. Here. Okay. Four by three. Each of these stones also had inscribed the 18 consonants of the Hebrew alphabet. You know, the Hebrew alphabet doesn't have any vowels. The 18 consonants of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay. But there are actually 22 consonants, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Where are the other four? They're in the thummim. Okay, which was kind of behind the ephod. Okay, we don't have time today to go through. But hallelujah, Christ is the completer. He's the perfecter. What we don't have, he has. Hallelujah. He's also the Urim. You know, this garment, you know, in message one, I appreciate it very much, Roman 4b, according to the Bible, no one was clothed more beautifully than the priests. No one was clothed more beautifully than the priests. Now you're getting the idea. The priests just weren't just wearing a curtain. They weren't just wearing a curtain. Okay, they were wearing a picture of Christ and the church. Christ and the church. Okay, now, haven't even gotten to the best part. Okay, the best part. Each of these precious stones, do you know what they represented? Each of these precious stones, brothers and sisters, they're us. That's us. We're here. We're here. Transformed precious stones. Clear, bright as crystal, so that the Urim can shine out. The Urim was the light, the illuminator. Praise the Lord. The Lord is also our illuminator. He's also our light, so that he could shine out from us. He could shine out from us. Oh, Lord Jesus. Then these precious stones were also set in gold. In gold. Okay, which signifies we're transformed and set through Christ's divinity to become the church. Thank you, Mike. Hallelujah. What a picture of the church. What a picture of the building. Brothers and sisters, this is the burden this morning. If you have a heart for Christ and the church, if you have a heart for what's on God's heart, you will give yourself to eating. You will give yourself to drinking. You will give yourself to be transformed by the Lord. Amen. How precious it is that we, made of dirt, eventually could become a bright, transparent, precious stone with Christ inscribed in our hearts. With Christ inscribed in our hearts. Okay. As a true picture of Christ and the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, your turn. Okay. How about we do this? How about we still pray two by two? And then we'll have one brother open
at the microphone. Maybe the piano, you could help us. Initially, we'll start with 3 minutes, and then the saints will each share 1 minute each, and then there will be a brother who will conclude. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For Christ and the church.
Amen.
For life and building.
Amen.